So we are reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 10, text number 23. This is pastimes of Lord Ramachandra. Today is Rambijoy, the day when Ramachandra was victorious in the battle with Ravana, and also the appearance day of Madhavacharya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Evam Shipam Danushi Santitam Utsa Sarjan Vanam Sa Vajran Iva Tad Girdayam Vibeda So Ashrig Vaman Vasa Mukher Nayapatad Vimanad Dahyati, Jalpati, Jane, Sukritiva, Riktaha, Evam Shipam Danusi Shandita Motsaraja,
Evam Shipam Danusi Shandita Motsaraja,
Danam Sha. Rajam ivatati tayam vipedha. So Sri Gvamanda samukirnaya patat vimana. Daheti jalpati jani shukti varitaha. Evam Shipam Danusi Sandita Motsaraja.
Evam Shipam Danusi Sandita Motsaraja.
Anam Saraja Nivata Ditayam Viveda.
Anam Saraja Nivata Ditayam Viveda.
So Sri Vamanda Samukhernaya Patat Vimana. Daheti jalpati jani supriti varitaha. Evam shipam vinushi sandita motsaraja. Anam sarajyam ivatatyayam viveda. Sotri kvamam dasamukhe naya patratimana. Tadeti chalpati jani sukriti paritha. Evam Shipam Danusi Sandita Motsaraja. Dhanam Savraja Nivata Kirtayam Viveda. So Sri Vamanda Samukhenya Patatimana. Aheti chalpati jani shukti paritta. Evam shipam danusi sandita mutsaraja. Anam sabaja migatati dayam viveha. Sh Sadhikvamanda Samukhinaya Patagivana. Daheti cha pati jane shukriti parikaha. Hevam shikam danu shishandi tambutsaraja. Dhanam sarvajyam vipratatitayam viveha. Sajita-sampasya-mumena-yata-vimana. Daheti-chau-pati-janeshu-pirti-varekha. Any messages? Hevam shifam danu shishandi tamutsaraja. Anam sarvacham idatatitayam viveka. Sosritvamanda samukhena patatvimana. Dharita chaupati jane shukriti parikaha. Evam, in this way, Shipan, chastising Ravana, Danusi, on the bow, Sangitam, fixed an arrow, Utsa Sarja, released toward him, Vanam, the arrow, Saha, that arrow, Vajramibo, like a thunderbolt, Takhirdayam, the heart of Ravana, Niveda, pierced, Saha, he, Ravana, Ashrik, blood, Vaman, vomiting, Dasmukhai, through the 10 mouths, Nyapata, fell down, Vimanat, from his aeroplane. Aha, alas, what happened? Iti, thus, Jalpati, roaring, Jane, when all the people present there, Shukriti Iba, like a pious man, Riktaha, when the results of his pious activities are finished. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, the voice of Aravinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Sri Prabhupada Ki. After thus rebuking Ravana, Lord Ramachandra fixed an arrow to his bow, aimed at Ravana, and released the arrow, which pierced Ravana's heart like a thunderbolt. Upon seeing this, Ravana's followers raised a tumultuous sound, crying, "Alas! Alas! What has happened? What has happened?" As Ravana, vomiting blood from his 10 mouths, fell from his aeroplane, just as pious man falls to earth from the heavenly planets when the results of his pious activities are exhausted. Please repeat. After thus rebuking Ravana, Lord Ramchandra fixed an arrow to his bow, aimed at Ravana, and released the arrow, which pierced Ravana's heart like a thunderbolt. Upon seeing this, Ravana's followers raised a tumultuous sound, crying, "Alas, alas, what has happened? What has happened?" As Ravana, vomiting blood from his 10 mouths fell from his airplane, just as a pious man falls to earth from the heavenly planets, when the results of his pious activities are exhausted. Purport. In the Bhagavad Gita 9.21, it is said, Kshine Punye Martya Lokam Pishanti. When the results of their pious activities are exhausted, those who have enjoyed in the heavenly planets fall to earth again. The fruitive activities of this material world are such that whether one acts piously or impiously, one must remain in the material world according to different conditions, for neither pious nor impious actions can relieve one from Maya's clutches of repeated birth and death. Somehow or other, Ravana was raised to an exalted position as a king of a great kingdom with all material opulences, but because of his sinful act of kidnapping Mother Sita, all the results of his pious activities were destroyed. If one offends an exalted personality, especially the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one certainly becomes the most abominable, bereft of all the results of pious activities. One must fall down like Ravana and other demons. It is therefore advised that one transcend both pious and impious activities and remain in the pure state of freedom from all designations. Sarvopadi vinirmuktam tat paratvina nirmalam. When one is fixed in devotional service, he is above the material platform. On the material platform, there are higher and lower positions, but when one is above the material platform, he is always fixed in a spiritual position. Sagunam samityetam brahma bhuyaya kalpate. Ravana, or those like him, may be very powerful and opulent in this material world, but theirs is not a secure position, because, after all, they are bound by the results of their karma. We should not forget that we are completely dependent on the laws of nature. Prakriti Kriyamanani Gunai Karamani Sharvasha Ahankara Vimudatma Tarkaha Miti Manyate. The bewildered spirit soul, under the influence of the three modes of material nature, thinks himself the doer of his activities that are in actuality carried out by nature. One should not be proud of one's exalted position and act like Ravana, thinking oneself independent of material nature's laws. Om Agyan Smirandasya Jinanjanam Shalakaya Takshuramena Tandina Kasmaya Shri Guru Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadata Shri Kashmi Gauru Bhakti Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So here, Ravana, he fell. Why? Because his time was up. And Ram killed him. So Ram kills everyone when their time is up. Everyone has an allotted time. When that time is finished, you're killed by Ram, either directly or indirectly. Here, Ravana is just, his lifespan is finished. Ramchandra happened to be the personality who's meant to kill him with his bow and arrow. Directly. Otherwise, everyone is simply killed by Ram indirectly through his material nature, through his material energy. Bhakti Krinamani, Gunamai, Karmanam, Sarvasha, bewildered, ahankara, vimurhatma, foolish. Thinking oneself to be the doer and oneself to be the controller. But everything is under the influence of time. And when the time is up, there's nothing you can do about it. Ram will come and kill you. generally, Devi Hiyashi Gunamayi Mamamaya Durajat. Ram will kill through his energy, Mamamaya. His material energy will kill, just like Durga. And now is Durga Puja coming on. Durga is the, Prabhupada said, she is the destroyer of the world. It's her world. She is the whole world. So everything is under her control. And she is under her husband's control. Devi Hiyashi Guna Mama Maya, Krishna says, my Maya, my wife. Of course, she's married to Lord Shiva, so we can understand any aspect of Lord Shiva, Krishna is making this statement. Mama Maya. She's under my control. So, Prabhupada said that people who worship Durga are foolish. Because they go to Durga and they're worshipping, give me this, give me wealth, give me sons, give me health, give me happiness. Give me... And she's supplying all those things. Of course, in between, you're getting Adi Bhautik, Adi Devik, Adi Atmik. That's her tree show. Still, you're asking for all these nice things. You can try and make a nice situation in the material world. And she's giving you a little bit here with one hand, giving you a jab with the other hand. You've got to go through it. At any one given moment, you're being affected by Adi Devik, Adi Bhautik, Adi Atmik, miseries. Miseries to the body. Miseries from other living entities, miseries from one's own mind, oneself. It's too hot, you've got to turn the fan on. It's too cold, you've got to turn the fan off. You've got a bad throat, you've got... Everything is coming, you sit down for 5 minutes, you've got to have a shift. There's always one of these proddings are going on that you just can't get comfortable in the material world. But still, in all this uncomfortable situation, still we're planning making a big program for trying to adjust everything so we're going to be happy. And so Durga's giving whole life, here, you get your benedictions. Then finally, she says, okay, time is up. Krishna says, time is up. Shiva is time. Her husband is time. He's the masculine principle, the force of activity is time, is pushing everything. And she's the feminine aspect. So the husband says, okay, time is up. So then whole life you're asking Durga, Durga, give me, give me, give me, give me. Now she says, okay, now you give me. It's my body. Devi Ashigunamai, Mama Maya. It's not our body, we are identifying, but it's Krishna's energy. It's Maya's energy. So then she says, okay, now you give me. It's time. Now is your time, so give me. Take my body back, and then you go out, go to another one. So this is the situation. But foolish people like Lord Ramachandra, sorry. Disease. Ravana had it, you know, personally he captured Sita. But still Sita means also the energy, Sri. It's energy, and still we're trying to capture Sita. We want to enjoy, we want to exploit. So we're trying to enjoy that energy. Sita is the feminine principle. Everyone, whether you've got a man's body or a woman's body, we have that Purusha Bhav. I'm the enjoyer, I'm the controller. And the material energy is prakriti, that is mine to enjoy. So this is Ravana consciousness. We want to enjoy Sita, we have got the Purusha Bhava. Maya's energy, we delude it. And we want to enjoy Sita without Ram. We want to enjoy Lakshmi without Ram. Prabhupada often quotes this. Everybody's working hard for money, Lakshmi Devi. But where is Ram? Oh, where is Narayan? He's not there. Lakshmi is there. We want the Lakshmi, but we don't want Narayan. So the whole world is going on like this. Therefore, it's very, very offensive here, it said. Trying to take Sita from Ram. The purpose of our existence is to unite Sita Ram, to unite Lakshmi, to unite Radha and Krishna. This is the very purpose of our existence. Because God's pleasure is Ram. His Sita. Ram's pleasure is Sita. Krishna's pleasure is Radharani. So our business, Bahusham, God is one and has become many for His pleasure. So that's our existence, is to unite Radha and Krishna for Krishna's pleasure. That's his pleasure, Radharani. Sita is Ram's pleasure, Lakshmi is Narayan's pleasure. So our existence is to unite for God's pleasure. That is the purpose of our existence. We're going to assist in uniting Radha and Krishna, Lakshmi and Narayan. But instead of doing that, we're doing completely the opposite. We're trying to disunite. I'll take the Lakshmi part. Like Narayan, he can go somewhere else. We'll have the back side of the chicken that gives the eggs. We won't have the front side because it's a lot of work. We've got to feed it. It's expensive. I'll just take the back side, get the golden eggs. So like that, we're trying to exploit this material. But this is the perverted mentality. It's a perverted reflection of the spiritual world, upside down. So instead of uniting Lakshmi, and we're trying to disunite them, separate them. So, a very bad mentality. And unfortunately, this is the position of the living entities in this material world. So we have to perform activities to get out of this consciousness so we can again unite Ram with Radha. So Srimad Bhagavatam, it doesn't give much detailed information of Lord Ramchandra's pastimes. It just gives a quick preview of how he broke the bow. Suppose Shiva's bow or Parashuram's bow. Anyway, he broke the bow at the Swayambhur, he married Sita. Then they had to go to the forest, be banished, and then the whole forest pastime. And then Ram come and kidnap Sita. Ram was so he was bewildered. It sounds like he was also a hankara vimudatma. This sounded like Ramchandra. He was really bewildered when Sita got stolen. He was really bewildered. Where is my wife? He's going crazy. He was really bewildered. Of course, he looked like an ordinary person who becomes bewildered by the material energy, lamenting for his wife. And because he's the supreme speaker in Bhagavad Gita, he's saying, you know, one should be equipoised in all different circumstances. He shouldn't be aggravated or attached to it. He should be unattached and should learn to tolerate. But when Ramchandra, when his wife was gone, he couldn't tolerate it. He lost it. Practically, he sounded like a person who's completely attached. And he wanted to destroy the whole unit. He became really angry, you know, calm, crowed. He sounded like he was just a man lusty for his... And from lust comes anger. Calm, crowed, drove. Where is he? I'll destroy the whole universe. He was ready to destroy the whole universe. Prabhupada said, all that trouble because of one woman. All the Ramayana. but he was so angry. He wanted to destroy the whole universe. He had to be pacified a bit. Of course, Prabhupada explains that this was actually transcendental separation. This madness in separation was actually the highest thing. But for ordinary persons, it was like something mundane. So, this is the Vikralamba, the state of existence, supreme state of existence. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was actually come to teach that. He's showing himself, he's tasting that, and he's also giving to others that highest state of existence. Here Ram is experiencing that. Maybe he's getting a taste of his own medicine. And because he appears here in Namadweep also, Madhyamadweepa. And he was sitting there, he was smiling, and Sita said, what are you doing? When he was in exile, he came to Navadvipa to spend some time there, living in the hut, under a big banyan tree. matted hair and everything, deer skin. They were sitting there and he was smiling, and Sita said, "What are you smiling for?" "I'm just thinking about my, in the future, this is a very special place we're in now. This, in Kali Yuga, I'll come here. I perform pastimes here. And then I'll take sannyas, and then I'll leave. And my loving mother will be crying, and my beautiful chaste wife will be left. They'll be crying for the rest of their life." So Sita said, "Well, why do you want to do that to your loving mother and wife? Why you want to make them cry for the rest of your life?" He said, "Actually, you know everything, Sita, because you are my internal potency. You are my pleasure potency. But for the sake of others, you're asking this question. But my devotees enjoy with me two ways. There is Sambhoga and Vipralamba. Sambhoga means the union. That is our greatest happiness. But when there is separation, the same feeling of love is there, but now it's intensified. We cannot manifest. It becomes that love becomes intensified. So it's a greater. So sometimes I grace my devotees with this mood of Vipralamba. So it gives them much. It shows much more love. They develop much more love for me. It brings out so much more. For some time, of course, it seems like a long time. I mean, the gopis, Krishna left Vrindavan for over 100 years. But of course, it's just a, from the viewpoint of eternality, from the spiritual realms, it's just like a lightning flash, this lifetime in this world. But anyway, Krishna says, I create this situation sometimes where my devotees can actually feel separation from me. So here Ramchandra was getting a little bit of a taste of his own medicine. He gives it to his devotees. Now he was experiencing himself that he was separated from Sita by Ravana. Of course, Ravana took a Maya Sita. Madhavacharya says that, or Ramana Charya says that, he cannot touch Sita, the pleasure potency of the Lord. So she created a Maya Sita. Her reflection is Durga, Chaiva Durga. Chaiva means shadow energy in Brahma Samhita. Durga is the spiritual, there's a spiritual Durga, spiritual energy. And she reflects into the material world and becomes the material Durga. So the shadow reflection, material reflection. So that was the form that Ravana stole. It was a material form. He cannot touch the internal quality. So she transformed into the Mahamaya instead of being Yogamaya. So Ravana, he kidnapped the Maya Sita. And so then Ramchandra had rescue. He made friends with the people who live in the forest and the monkey tribes and everything. And he formed a great army. And he went and rescued Sita and burned down Lanka. And here is killing. Today is the killing of Ravana, Rambijaya. Today is the day he killed him. Isn't it? Killing of Ravana, yeah? Okay. Is that the day they have the effigy and they put a fire and arrow in? We used to do that here. Build a big Ravana made of straw with 10 heads. And you have a flaming arrow. Like the Raja Thunder. And there's all fireworks inside and he starts blowing up. It's kind of Rajasic. Anyway, here is Lord Ramchandra acting as an ordinary man. Ideal king, ideal man. This was Ramchandra's role, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. His avatar is Lord Ramachandra. He was showing an ideal person. Took only one wife. Of course, Krishna, he wasn't exactly exhibiting an ideal personality in all of his activities from a mundane moral point of view, but Ramchandra, he did. So we can follow Ramchandra, don't copy Krishna, some of his activities. But follow Ramchandra, yes, we can do that. So he became angry, he protected his wife. And then he killed Ravana because of that. He killed the whole dynasty, one woman. Prabhupada said, because of one woman, the whole dynasty of Ravana was wiped out. So here, when they're having this battle, this is Lord Ramchandra speaking, because when the Kshatriyas are fighting, they have to insult each other. They like to insult each other. They get some angry also, it gets the other side, and then have a good fight. If you're not angry, you can't have a good fight. So they get the other side angry also, you get more fun in the battle. So they insult each other. And then as much as possible, they'll try to humiliate each other. Anyway, so Ram, this is the Kshatriya nature. So this is Ramchandra. How is he humiliating Ravana? Just before he killed him. Lord Ramchandra said to Ravana, "You are the most abominable of man-eaters. Indeed, you are like their stool. You resemble a dog." Remember, Ravana's the king. He's got a big empire. "You resemble a dog, for a dog steals eatables from the kitchen in the absence of the householder. In my absence, you kidnap my wife Sita Devi. Therefore, as Yamaraj punishes sinful men, I shall also punish you. You are most abominable, sinful, and shameless. Today, therefore, I, whose attempt never fails, shall punish you." After rebuking Ravana, Ram aimed his bow at and released the arrow, which pierced his heart like a thunderbolt. So Kshatriya spirit there. Why God is talking like this? You know, God should be, everything should be very peaceful, isn't it? And this is the conception of God. Everything has to be peaceful and nice. How can God use these bad words? Calling others a dog and calling them stool. Even in society, I won't say this. How can God ever say that? So this is the wonderful, controversial nature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He can play any role that he likes and still he remains aloof. But he shows that, but this is the thing you should do. Kshatriyas, they have to use this language. Otherwise, how are they going to fight their enemy? If Arjuna wasn't angry, how would he? So Krishna was inducing him to get angry. Jai Sri Ramchandra Ki Bhagawan Ki Jai. It's also the appearance there. Ramanujacharya. Sorry. Madhavacharya. They're both great personalities. Ramanuja appeared first. There's disappearances on the same day. But the appearance day is different. So, but they're both great, and their greatest glorifications is they defeated Mayavad philosophy. Ramanuja and Madhava. This is their great contribution, the greatest contribution. Because the Mayavad philosophy is, it's worse than Maya. And this is the world of Maya. Everybody knows, everybody's bound up in Maya. There's nothing worse than being in Maya. Mayavad is even worse than Maya Devi, than the whole of Maya. Because the Maya, she covers Krishna. That's why nobody likes, devotees don't like transcendentalists. She covers Krishna. But Mayavad is, they say there is no Krishna. They want to kill Krishna. Maya covers Krishna's form, and Mayavadi say Krishna has no form. More dangerous than Maya Devi herself. And Mahaprabhu is warned, be careful. You read that Shankya Bhashya, his commentary on the Vedanta Sutra, Mayavadi presentation. He said it would crack the heart of a devotee even. Very dangerous philosophy. Because after all, why we're in the material world, what is the root of our being? We wanted to be like God, we wanted to be God. So it's a very dangerous philosophy because it's telling what we actually wanted. within our heart, you can become God. So very, very dangerous philosophy. So these were great, two great preachers. So from his very birth, he was born very, very beautiful child, actually. Very healthy, very strong. He had all the 32 lakshanas, good signs of a great saintly person when he was born. Of course, he is an incarnation of Vayudev, the wind god, who also expands as Bhim. Therefore, he had these qualities. He had exceptional strength, sometimes like Bhim had. And but he played like and grew up like an ordinary child. Sometimes he would perform extraordinary feats, but otherwise he was just like a little bonny baby, and he would cry for his mother's milk and things like this, like an ordinary little kid. But one time he was, I don't even even move around, but you know, babies have a very strong grip, they can grip. So one big bull come and he hang on the, gripped on the bull's tail. The bull went on his wanderings, and then the family, where is the baby, where is the baby? Hunting all over, they couldn't find him. The whole day, the bull was out. The little kid was clinging on his tail. Then the end of the day, he come back in the village, and the Madhavacharya was sitting there hanging on his tail. So he performed quite some miracles. His father was actually a poor man. They lived in the village, simple village, Brahmin. And one day one man came, you know, you have to pay your debt, you didn't pay my debt. So they had a system. If you haven't paid your debt, they would sit on the doorstep. And you're a guest because you're a Titi Narayan, and you've got to treat the person as. But he won't move until he gets, something's going to happen. And so you can't invite him in. Because he's staying on the threshold, and if you don't bring him in, then it's offensive. Atiti Narayan, he should be treated like Narayan. If you're going to neglect him, then it's a great offense. So that is the custom. So they're bound by these rules and regulations. So the I think we've got maybe a question or something on my. Oh, it's interesting. So, so he didn't know what to do. Where did we get that money? And he couldn't pay the debt. And the man was going to move. And so Madhavacharya said, come with me. He said, little baby, come on, come on. So he was so attractive and charming. We just followed him. Everybody just followed him. And he went to a tree and he picked up some tamarind seeds. And so he said, take the seeds and put them in his hand. And suddenly it became all coins. It was full of coins, exactly the amount he needed from his father. So he was very happy. Got all of his money. And one time he killed a big serpent just by pushing him with his big toe. He put his toe on the serpent's head and he killed him. Everyone was amazed to see such feet. And his mother was calling him, come, 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 come. He was a long, long, long way away. And he would, Vayu was like, yeah, he would jump for miles. Come right before his mother's doorstep. Oh, what do you want, honey? Oh, it's time for your food. He would do. Some people say also he's a partial incarnation of Hanuman. Is it? He's good for jumping also. But at least Vayu is there. And anyone who takes sannyas, a really young age, but he said, I have to take sannyas. So he decided to associate with the mutt in the village, and the sannyas is there. And his parents became frantic. Oh no, he's going to take sannyas, he's going to leave us. So they went begging, and the mother said, you can commit suicide, and the father said, he's going to commit suicide. And then the father actually, he paid his ashtanga dandavat pranam at the lotus feet of his son. Please, please, I'm begging you, please come back home. And the son said, One should never play a dandavat pranam to an inferior person. You can pay to a superior person, but never to a younger person, unless he is a sadhu. So actually, by paying your pranam to me, that means that is confirmation that I that is a confirmation of what I'm doing. I want to take sannyas, and you're giving your dandavat is a confirmation also. I'm much younger than you. I'm your son. I'm not meant to be respected by you. So it means I'm a sadhu because you're giving your pranam to me. So this is confirmation I have to take sannyas. So later I actually took sannyas. And one time he ate 200 bananas at one time. The bean aspect. And they said, how you do that? He said that my fire of digestion is the size of my thumb. It's burning in there. So I can consume any amount of foods. The fire of digestion is so big in my stomach. So then he made a trip to he took sannyas, then he took a trip to Badrinarayan and Badrikashram in the Himalayas. I remember these disciples there, and he was challenging many people and defeating Mayavad philosophy and things like that, and criticizing. But many of these sannyasis, they say, anybody can criticize. But where is your bhasha? Why don't you write it? But you're pointing out the defects. You're so great at pointing out. Well, why not write your own bhasha? If you're that good, this is all wrong. Then why don't you write your own one? Present what is right. So he said, "Yes, I should do that. Then it'll be authoritative. At least I'm saying something, but I can back it up. Here's the Bhashra." So he went to ask Badri Vishal, who lives in Badrikashram, was the deity of Narayan. And so he asked his disciples to leave, and they went to the temple to see the deity of Narayan there. Still there, if you go. And then he was reading his bhasha, and he was asking the opinion of the deity. Well, how was this my commentary? So he's reading it, and the deity was, yes. I'm not like, okay, that's okay. The disciples could hear. The deity was confirming all of his statements and everything. So then he was very happy. Then he went to see Veda Vyas, and took initiation. He's considered the guru of Madhavacharya. He took initiation there. So then he came back, and he was staying at Udipi, very famous Krishna temple there. Most of you have seen, I think. Very famous temple, Krishnaji. And every day he would go and take his bath in the ocean and recite prayers. And then one day he was going, he just felt so enlivened, and he was singing. There's a famous Dvadasam Stotra by Madhavacharya, 12 verses, are very famous. But he started to recite this, he just made it up spontaneously. He was feeling so, something wonderful is going to happen, and he just felt so, he just started singing these stotras as he was going through the ocean. Kirtan, he was just chanting and singing, then he took his bath. Then he saw outside there was one merchant ship was coming. It was stuck on a sandbar. Very dangerous. If the ship gets stuck on the sand, it can easily turn over. And he had a very valuable cargo on there. So Madhavacharya, he saw they're all in distress and anxiety. So he started waving his cloth, indicating, "They come this way, come this way." And then suddenly the boat got freed and they come in. So the merchant, they understood, by the blessings of this great saint, but what do you Can I serve you? Can I give you something? He said, yeah. He said, you've got some big pieces of Gopi Chandan, Tilak. He was using as weights, balance and things like that. Got some big pieces of Gopi Chandan. You please give me those Gopi Chandan pieces. Didn't have anything. So they took back and they Udipi and they put him in a tank of water and they washed all the Chandan. And they actually, the Krishna deity was inside there. And this deity of Krishna, he's got, although he got blessings from Narayan, Naranarayan in Badri, but the actual deity here was Krishna. He's got a rope for tying cows and a churning stick for churning butter, or herding the cows. Little cowboy. Would it be Krishna? He's so sweet. He's a cowboy. So everybody was astonished to see the appearance of Krishna. So he told them to put him in the temple. No one could move him. They got 30 big men. They couldn't move the deity. So then Madhavacharya came, whoop, picked him up easy. They put him in the temple there. Then after some time he decided to take another trip to Badri, to the Himalayas. In those days there were many bandits on the road. Every state, they had different kings and different bandits, and the kings would have their own bandits also. So anybody who comes through their kingdom, the bandits would have to give a percentage to the king, so the king would also maintain his kingdom. So they went to one, were going one kingdom. There was one king, nice king, but and he authorized any impious works, digging wells and planting trees. But yeah, you didn't have much money. He said, oh, no, but you get the money. I can't give you any money. So they wanted a big tank, a water tank to be dug. So the king said, yeah, go ahead. I haven't got any money though. So what you can do, you can capture any pilgrims coming and tell them to dig as they come. They can dig the tank. You get some free labor there. We won't pay them with it. So good idea. So Madhavacharya and his party came on pilgrimage to Badri. And so the king said, okay, if you're coming through our kingdom, you have to dig, stay here and dig the pukkha, help dig the pukkha for some time. And so the king said, okay, well, give one spade each, one axe or spade, that they were digging the ground. And Madhavacharya said, well, no, we live in the mud, we're not used to this, we don't even know how to hold it. If you can show us how to do it, then we can see how we can do it. Otherwise, we don't know how to do this thing. Come on, I'll show you, the king said. So he picked up his man and he got this idea. Okay, you dig like that, take all the earth out, digging. And Madhavacharya bewildered them so much that they forgot, you know, and the king carried on digging all his men. And Madhavacharya said, okay. And they all walked off, and the king, they were really enthusiastic. They dug the whole book, they were digging the whole book of Madhavacharya. Then they came to the Ganga. They had to get across the Ganga, but there was no boats. It was very deep and flowing very quickly. And on the other side of the river was the Muslims were there. And they had a rule, no Hindus can come across the Ganga. If you come on this side, you'll be punished by the king. So the soldiers were there and everything. So, and there was no boat, anything like that. So they were, what to do? So Madhavacharya said, all hold my hand, all hold hands. So they all held hands, long chain. Madhavacharya, he walked through the Ganga and everybody on the Ganga, they just walked through and they come out the other side. Across. Then all the soldiers, hey, you come here, you shouldn't come on this land, you're going to be punished now. The king has given order to punish anyone. Let me see the king. I want to see the king. We're going to see him anyway. So they said, okay, you can go. Because they look a bit scared, you know. He just walked through the water with his men. Go and see the king. So he's a nice king, actually. And he offered to Madhavacharya, I give you half my kingdom, you stay in my kingdom. You're a very great personality, and you'll be auspicious for my kingdom. I'll give you half my kingdom. But Madhavacharya didn't want. So anyway, he left to... He spoke in Persian to the king, the Muslim king. The king was very impressed. Oh, you know Persian language, you know our language. So he was very impressed. But anyway, Madhavacharya said, I'm a shadow, I don't need any property. So he let them go through. Another time, when some robbers came, a gang of robbers, and they come ready to attack Madhavacharya, he had one cloth, and he rolled it up into a ball, and he threw it at the robbers, and they saw a ball of gold. Oh, a great ball of gold, and they grabbed it. Oh, it's solid gold, it's sad. And they all saw it, and they all tried it. They all started fighting for it. I want it. And they were fighting. They couldn't. And in the end, they all killed each other. And then Madhavacharya got his cloth back. And he was very angry. Another time, the bandits, they came to attack them. And they said, hey, there's a party here. So they all swooped down to attack. And then they saw that there was no one there. Big boulders were there. Big lumps of rock were there. When they saw Madhavacharya and his father, it's all lumps of rock, big rock. Strange, they're rubbing their hands. We saw them here, and now there's only rock here. And then the rock started moving. What's happening here? And then they turned into men again. Madhavacharya. They just walked off, and all the robbers had to come and pay their obeisances. And another time they were attacked. The 100 thieves, a big gang of 100, armed with swords and everything. And then there was one disciple of Madhavacharya, Upendra. His name's Upendra. Very humble, very timid, very weak personality. Everyone was scared, 100 men coming with weapons. Then this very timid young sadhu, suddenly he jumped on one of the robbers. He grabbed his sword, and then he went to all of the robbers. He killed them all, 100 of them. And everyone was, he's completely amazed. Our Pendra did that. We've never even seen him lift a sword before, not even lift a stick. And how he comes with his God, all this power. And then they look around, they see Madhavacharya smiling there. He must have been giving the power of Bhima. Because he was an incarnation of Bhima. They understood, Madhavacharya has empowered him with the Bhima Shakti. And he killed all those men. Another time, a big tiger pounced on one of the disciples. Oh, it must be horrible, huh? You got tiger with claws and feeling their hot breath on your face. And then Madhavacharya came up and went, boom. The tiger rolled over and died. And Sadhu was still shivering. Hey, what's happened? And the tiger already died. Literally, just tapped him with his fist. Anyway, again they went to Badri. And... Vyasadeva gave him 8 shalagram shilas. Maybe they're still in Udupi Mott, I don't know. But anyway, he gave him 8 shalagram. And then on the way back, they couldn't cross this river. It was flooded. There was no boats. And then suddenly Madhavacharya disappeared. And then nobody could find him, and the night was coming, and they were stranded on the bank. They didn't have any security or any boats or any place to stay. Madhavacharya, he had just walked through the water. And he came out on the other bank, completely dry. His clothes wasn't wet, his hair wasn't wet. people down, right under the water. But the people there that sound sorry, more it's great sight always come. They said, my men are stuck on the other side, there's no boats there. So immediately they go with the boats and put all the men in, they got shelter in that village. And then on the way back they also visited Kuruketra. And then Madhavacharya was telling the glories of Bhimshen, because he was there as Bhimshen, the incarnation of Bhimshen. So he was very excited, so he started telling all the stories of Bhim and the battle that went on in the battlefield. And especially like telling about the elephants, because Bhim had the strength of 10,000 elephants. He could fight with 10,000 elephants. And one day during the Battle of Kuruketra, there was an army with 10,000 elephants that actually come and confronted Bhim, and Bhim saw that. He licked his lips. Mm. Mm. 10,000 elephants, here is my match. I'm supposed to be. So he was really happy to get who would face one elephant, even a baby elephant would kind of give. 10,000 elephants, and Bhim was licking his lips. Mm. This is a Kshatriya. Here's a good battle. And then he showed him, one of his old clubs was there, a big iron club was maybe probably half buried or something, but he showed the cases. Then he went through Benares. Of course, Benares has always been famous or infamous for its being a Mayavadi seat. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went there and converted Prakashananda Saraswati, but it was like one of their seats, it still is actually, of Mayavad philosophy. So there he had many debates with them, and this time Prabhupada said that the Vaishnavas and the Mayavad, they're always having a debate. It's a perpetual thing, it goes on forever, from time immemorial. The Vaishnavas and the Mayavadis. Sometimes he said the Mayavadis even win, sometimes the devotees win. So this time Madhavacharya went and he presented. He said, now you're saying everything is Maya, your philosophy of Maya, but everything is Maya. The body, senses, mind, everything is Maya in this world. Only Brahman is truth. Brahma satyam jagan mitya. Oh, this material world is false. Everything in the material world is false. Only Brahman is truth. And so he said, okay, so now, to understand this truth, what is your process for understanding that jnana, knowledge, meditation, using our mental intellect? He said, but the mind is also part of jagat. It's also a material creation. Mind is also Maya. You're saying everything is Maya. The mind is also Maya. Therefore, you're using Maya to understand the absolute truth. You have a faulty instrument to understand the absolute. How you can do that? They're all stunned. They couldn't answer. They couldn't defeat that. It's still a great argument they always use from the Madhavas when they meet Vayavadis. You can also use it. How you can find Brahman, which is a dosaja, beyond the sense perception with the material sense of mind. Not possible. So he defeated them on that point. It's been a great point ever since. So they had to surrender to him. And then he went through Goa and people have heard his glories that you once ate 100 bananas. They said, they put 1,000 bananas. They said, if he's really says, can he eat all these things? They put 1,000 bananas. So he sat down. He ate all the bananas. Everyone was astonished. So then someone said, okay, they bought 4,000 bananas. So he said, have you got something to wash it down with? So they bought 32 big pots of milk. He chucked the milk and ate 4,000 bananas and 32 big pots of milk. You must sit down. And then at the end, they said, "Now, David, you're quoting different shastras, and then we hear the shastric statements that sound vibration can bring things to life. It can make things move. Lord Chaitanya, he made the animals dance with sound vibration. You can make wild tigers and things like that dance with sound vibration, and you can make things happen. You can make vegetables grow and things like that, and stones to move, and with sound vibration." They said, "We've heard this, but how do we know it's true?" The Shastra, "We want to see a demonstration, because you're claiming to be a sage, so you give us a demonstration." So he got some seeds in his hand, and then he started chanting some slokas, which everybody could understand. And then his chanting became very subtle. He started chanting on a very, very subtle platform. While he was chanting, he saw all the seeds started sprouting, all these little sprouts were coming up, growing in his hands. Then they all started dancing, and with the rhythm of his chanting, all the seeds were moving their heads and dancing like that in the bush. Then also they gave off fruits and flowers also. So Madhavacharya also came to Mayapur. Actually, all the great acharyas, Ramanuja came, Vishnu Swami, Himbhakacharya. They got blessings here from Mahaprabhu to start the different sampradayas, the four sampradayas. So Madhava was here with his followers. And then Gauranga appeared in the dream. And he saw the beautiful form of Gauranga. And Gauranga said, "When I appear here, I will accept your sampradaya." So Mahaprabhu took initiation from Ishvara Puri, Madhavendra Puri, who were coming in this line from Brahma Madhava Gaudiya, with the Brahma Madhava Gaudiya sampradaya. He said, "I will take initiation in your sampradaya." And I'll also take two of your teachings. That is your complete refutal of Mayavada philosophy and the worship of the deity. How the deity is an eternal being. And then he disappeared. So Madhava wrote, "Oh, he saw that beautiful form. Will I ever see that form again?" And then he heard the voice, Gauranga's voice. And he said that, he said, "Later on, when I take birth here, you can also, you'll also be present. But in the meantime, now you go and you preach. You preach against the Mayavada, the false doctrines of the Mayavada philosophy. And you establish the real doctrines of bhakti. So but secretly you worship me, but don't tell your followers. In secret you can worship me." "And then later when I come, I'll broadcast your teachings." So Mahaprabhu took those two teachings. Of all the acharyas, he accepted two from Ramanuja Acharya, that was service to the deity, as that being absolute, and service to the devotees, Nimbarka and Vishnu Swami, the process of Ragmav, the high esteem of the gopis' love for Krishna, complete dependence on Srimati Radharani. So these two he took from these four sampradayas, he took two principles. Some people say that he took these principles and formed his sampradaya, but actually Mahaprabhu gave them these principles. Mahaprabhu preached all these acharyas previously. So he had given all these, most of these ideas anyway. So he was their guru. But then anyway, he accepted two principles from each of their sampradayas. And then he preached the glories of pure devotion through the philosophy of Achintavaita Veda Tattva. So he took those principles and he applied it to the holy name. The conception of the deity being an eternal being, then why Mahaprabhu, he was dancing in front of Jagannath, chanting Hare Krishna, so many places. All the devotees had deities, they were dancing in the courtyards of Shivash. In front of deities they would be dancing and chanting, so everything was in relation to the holy name, taking complete shelter of Radharani, means taking complete shelter of the holy name. So everything was, Mahaprabhu joined everything for the holy name, that was the principal means. And he presented this philosophy, the perfect philosophy of Achintavaita Veda Tattva. So they all had their role to play in the progression. So it's like a greater plan of the Lord over the, you know, a span of, you know, thousands of years. Actually, the Lord Buddha, they're eating animals, so Krishna wants to stop animal killing. They're cruel, being cruel, on the pretext of the Vedas. So then he appears as Buddha. Okay, you should be non-violent. Ahimsa. No, but our Vedas, it's our religion, says we can kill. Look, you can sacrifice, you can kill, or you can eat meat. This is our religion, our Shastra says. So the Buddha said, okay, forget Veda. Follow my path of Ahimsa. So he took them away from Veda. They forgot Veda, but they all followed Buddha and became peaceful. But they had rejected the Veda, so Buddha's considered like an atheist, Nastik, because he rejected the Vedas. Anybody who rejects the Vedas. But he rejected, but at least he made them peaceful. So then the next incarnation was Shiva was instructed to come by Krishna as Shankaracharya. Now Shankaracharya, he brought the people back to the Vedas. He brought them back. Because they had straight, but you have to have the Vedas, otherwise civilization doesn't work. It's the most authoritative scripture. So he brought back, he established the Vedas again, and his philosophy was similar to Buddhism, but not quite. Buddhism is voidism. Shankaracharya said, no, it's not void, there is something, but you cannot touch it, you cannot see it. It's beyond the sense perception. It's Brahman, but it's there in the Vedas. So he brought them back to the Vedas with a similar philosophy to Buddhism, but Mayavada philosophy. Yeah. Brahman, impersonal. So then the other great acharyas come, especially Ramanujacharya, and he defeated it. And again, he established bhakti. Then later on, Madhavacharya came. Again, he established the path of bhakti. Then the other acharyas. Then Mahaprabhu came, and he established the conclusion of all the different acharyas, Achintavaita Veda Tattva. So even the Mayavada philosophy is included in the Achintavaita Veda Tattva. God has a form simultaneously, he doesn't. He has his in-person aspect. So that's Achintavaita Veda Tattva. So it encompasses all the different types of philosophy. Now this is the most perfect philosophy Mahaprabhu is presenting that we have today, Achintavaita Veda Tattva. Simultaneously one and different. So, Madhavacharya ki? All glories to Madhavacharya, defeating Mayavada philosophy and establishing the path of bhakti. Srila Prabhupada ki, samaveda bhakti vrinda ki, nitai go premanandi. Hare Krishna. Sorry, it's a little bit late.